to secure a very first quarterfinal victory against Cook Island. This is unbelievable. This win is just a testimonial of the girls' hard work, their discipline, their belief in each other. And each and every single player has really shown everything that they needed to show through this whole journey. The girls really, followed the game plan. They were so determined from the goal.
Let's go now to the Amajita goalkeeper. Fletcher Lowe Smith says the return of captain Aseko Tiwane is a major boost for the squad as they settle in Chile ahead of the FIFA Under-20 World Cup. Tiwane is a versatile Mamelodi Sundowns defender who can operate at left-back or centre-back, and he was injured in the opening match of the Africa Under-20 Cup of Nations in Egypt, where Amajita went on to clinch their maiden continental title.
Yeah, well, his leadership qualities are definitely not.
Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's a cool start to the 26th day of the 9th month of 2025, weather-wise at least. Good morning to you and welcome to the MoneyWeb Now podcast with Simon Brown. I'm Duduzile Ramela in for Mr. Brown this morning. Here's what you can look forward to. Petri Riedeling-Hayes of Herenya Capital Advisors is standing by with market movements. Andrew Amolis is head of research at New World Wealth. He will speak to us about the rise in crypto millionaires. And a report by Business Partners Limited has pointed to weeks sentiment among SMEs. David Morobe is General Manager of Impact Investing at Business Partners Limited. He will talk us through the findings. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines. MoneyWeb backlash against World Bank's ranking of Durban as the world's worst port. Business Day, Revolut eyes South Africa as first African market in $13 billion global push. Morning markets, U.S. markets, the S&P 500 in the red 0.5%, NASDAQ also in the red 0.5%, commodities, gold futures 3,735, Brent 68.74, platinum in the positive 1,546, and so is palladium 1,256. The rand is trading at 1744 to the U.S. dollar, Bitcoin 109,668. Top 40 opening call expected 43 points in the negative.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Petri Riedeling-Hayes of Herenya Capital Advisors is standing by for market movements. Petri, a very good morning to you and thank you very much for joining us on this Friday. Maybe let's get into more detail with that Business Day headline. So a major international bank is heading to South Africa, that is Revolut. It has made known its intention to enter the market. What do we know about them?
Well, good morning, firstly, and thank you for chatting to me. So Revolut is a relatively new bank in the sort of global arena, I suppose. They've been around for around 10 years or so, 2015, I think they started. And they have something like 65 million customers. I think they're one of the biggest digital banks out there. And they're essentially eyeing global expansion and wanting to do business in Africa. Wanting to come sort of, open up shop here. So essentially what happened with them initially is that they got a limited banking license, which is why they did digital only, sort of in Europe. However, they are looking to do a fully fledged bank license locally. They've made the application to the license, and they're either wanting to start from scratch, or they want to buy an existing bank. So this is interesting because there are smaller banks in South Africa that have sort of started and not really gone as far as what others have, because there are a couple of new banks on the block, if you will, Discovery Time and so on. We also know that ShopRite is looking to enter the arena of the banking sector. So it's going to be interesting to see. Maybe they end up buying something like Time. Right?
Sure.
They've got quite an ambitious goal. They want to have, by mid-2027, they want to have 100 million customers. So considering they're on 65 million now, they've got to add 35 million people. which is massive in the next 2 years. So it's going to be interesting to see how many of those they're going to get from South Africa, right?
Absolutely, because Jacques Meyer, Revolut South Africa CEO, is quoted as saying the market is primed for disruption. To your point of digital players already existing in the South African market and some of them not doing so well, is the market primed for this disruption that he speaks of?
Well, I mean, he certainly thinks so. And it's interesting to me to see that, you know, international businesses are eyeing us, right? I mean, we've also got, what are they called, Walmart, wanting to have their first stores open by Christmas, right? So clearly, there is something that they see here, right? There's opportunity here. And I was actually having this conversation with somebody yesterday. Like, if you don't see opportunities in South Africa, then your eyes are closed, really. So I think it's interesting to see that other international players, even in the banking sector and the retail sector from all over, is looking at us and going, you know what? We want to do business here. This place is looking like it's going to grow. So I think it's a feather in our cap, and we should be quite interested. And I think it's going to be more interesting for me to see whether or not they go the completely new let's start from scratch route, or whether or not they maybe try and buy time, right?
Buy time.
I don't know who else they would target. I think Time Bank is probably the only one that they could buy.
Why?
Well, maybe
Time
Africa Bank. I don't know. African Bank is starting to do relatively well as well. I don't know who they would potentially target, because they did say they might look at buying someone, but who? Right.
Sure. Petri, thank you very much for weighing on this particular story. It's one to definitely look out for. Petri Redelinghuis of Herenia Capital Advisors.
The Standard Flexible Income Fund delivers capital preservation and consistent top quartile inflation-beating returns. Let your money keep working with Standard Asset Management even after you retire.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Let's take a look at this now. The list of millionaires and billionaires just got longer, and that's all thanks to cryptocurrency. The Henley & Partners Crypto Wealth Report 2025 shows the following. There are now 36 crypto billionaires. There are 241,700 crypto millionaires worldwide, 450 centimillionaires, that is individuals with crypto portfolios worth more than $100 million. Andrew Amolis is head of research at New World Wealth. He joins us now for more. Thank you very much, Andrew, for your time this morning. Maybe let's start with a brief indication of how the report is put together and what kinds of crypto were essentially measured or looked at.
Thanks for having me on. Yes, the report's called the Crypto Wealth Report. You can find it on our website or the Henley & Partners website. And it's the stats are based on in-house wealth tier models where we benchmark the different wealth bands using a Lorenz curve model, and we also look at open source information on large crypto holdings from major crypto platforms like CoinMarketCap, Binance, and Etherscan, and others.
Now, when you think of millionaires and billionaires, you usually or typically what comes to mind is the Forbes list, right? And you've got the faces there and you've got their net worth, and you can do your own little research on them. What makes this one different in terms of the data? Is there a sense of anonymity because you don't get the names of these millionaires, the billionaires, and the crypto centi millionaires? What does it tell us essentially?
Well, we also do billionaire lists, although they aren't public. I think what makes the Forbes list unique is, as you mentioned, they give the names. Although some of the wealth figures in the Forbes list don't match up to ours due to the way they collect it. There's a lot of private company holdings in there. Your crypto doesn't tend to really feature much in the Forbes list, unless it's, for instance, one of the people who started, like for instance, the person who started Binance will be on the Forbes list. But the people who actually started the individual cryptos, they won't be on the Forbes list due to their anonymity. Mm-hmm. And also, obviously, we're looking at all the other wealth bands. So we're looking at centi millionaires with over 100 million US. So Forbes, just the billionaires. And then we're also looking at the millionaires with over 1 million US. So we are looking at all the wealth bands. So, there is a little bit of an overlap with Forbes, but not much.
Sure. Which jurisdictions in the world are leading adoption?
Well, the big ones, the UAE and Singapore are the big ones, probably driven by the fact that they don't have capital gains tax in those countries, which is very appealing to crypto owners, because that's obviously the tax they would have to pay on their earnings in crypto. And then also markets where the currencies are very unstable, like Turkey, Argentina. Crypto is very popular in those countries as well.
This is on the radar of the South African Reserve Bank as well. It's sort of part of this, but you'll decide. So I saw an ATM right here in Johannesburg where you have an option to withdraw crypto. So it says Crypto Express, and when you click on it, it goes on further to say enter your cell phone number. And when you click next, it then goes on to say enter your 10-digit crypto code, which is something that I do not have. So I could not go further. How should we understand that in South Africa? So does that mean that you can do that and get cash? Are you aware of this? Have you seen something like this?
Yes, I've seen those machines, for instance, in Sands and City. I've never used them myself. Look, I think the main reason for those types of machines is they aren't really ATMs in the traditional sense. What they do is they translate your crypto onto another card that you can then buy items in the shopping center. So that's essentially what they are. There are other ways of doing that. There are other cards where you don't actually have to use an ATM, where they actually just do the translation for you. But one of the things with crypto is it's always been quite difficult to go into a store and hand them a card. But now there are quite a lot of service providers that do that, and they do the translation. And they obviously charge a fee for that. Mm-hmm. And that is one of those vendors that is doing that.
Ah, okay. Fair enough. So in the beginning, we sort of gave the numbers. So you've got 36 crypto billionaires, 241,700 crypto millionaires. But when you take a look at the growth in the millionaires, in just because the report looked at the 12 months, it's quite exponential growths, right? So what do you put that down to?
Well, it's mainly been driven by Bitcoin. If you look at the rise in the number of millionaires, I think around 60, let me just check the figures. There have been 70,000 new crypto millionaires created, around 70,000, and about 60,000 of them have come from Bitcoin. So about 90% or 85% of the rise is because of Bitcoin. And also in the centi millionaires, there have been 125 centi millionaires, crypto centi millionaires created over the last year. And 98 of them are from Bitcoin. And of the 8 crypto billionaires created over the last year, 6 came from Bitcoin. So Bitcoin has been the main driver. It's a lot of the other cryptos haven't really risen in value. Bitcoin has been the main one. Obviously, we're looking at the period up until the end of June 2025. So crypto has gone up slightly since then. So our numbers are the current numbers will be slightly higher than ours.
Who is this report for? So who should be paying attention to this? Is it all of us? Is it specific stakeholders? More so when you think of the traditional financial system and then you take a look at this.
Well, it was essentially, we were just trying to fill a gap that was there. I mean, we do that with all our wealth reports. We obviously do the Africa Wealth Report, also with Henley and Partners. So there was a lack of information around the number of wealthy people in Africa, and particularly some of the smaller markets like Mozambique, Rwanda. So we try to fill that gap. And then essentially we've done the same thing with crypto. There weren't really good statistics out there about the number of millionaires, centi-millionaires and billionaires in crypto. So we just essentially filled that gap. In terms of who would like to look at the information, I'd imagine a lot of the wealth management companies would be interested. And obviously high net worths themselves might be interested in knowing how big the market is in terms of the top end.
Andrew, thank you very much for your time this morning. Andrew Amolis is head of research at New World Wealth.
Give your money smoother returns with Stanlib Asset Management. The Stanlib Flexible Income Fund's agile investment process preserves and grows capital in all markets.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Now, despite persistent challenges, including cash flow, economic conditions and funding, South African small and medium enterprises entered the year with an encouraging sense of optimism. That's according to the latest SME Confidence Index conducted by Business Partners Limited. However, confidence has declined across all indicators. SME confidence in South Africa's labor laws supporting business growth declined, while confidence in government efforts to foster SME development increased somewhat. We speak to David Morobe, Executive General Manager of Impact Investing at Business Partners Limited, for more on this. Thank you very much for your time this morning, Mr. Morobe. Let's start with a brief description of how the research was put together. And that would be an indicator that our network is not quite strong. Interestingly enough, there was a report by PwC a few days ago on this, but Mr. Morobe is with us. Thank you very much, sir, for your time this morning. Good morning to you. Let's start with a brief description of how the research was put together.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Morobe, sir.
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. Thank you very much for your time this morning. How was this research put together? And why, maybe? Let's start with that.
No, thank you very much. And sorry about the challenges in connection. We do the SME Confidence Index quarterly, and it's our way of gauging the buoyancy of SME sector as a whole, and also to understand the key social and economic issues that affect our SMEs in South Africa. And it's always for us very important to share with the ecosystem about what these challenges are, because maybe that can shape the environment and make it conducive for our SMEs to thrive.
What are some of the challenges? Is it the most commonly known, more so access to funding?
With every confidence index that we undertake, the issue of access to funding always comes up. The issue of cash flow, unfortunately, always comes up. But there are other aspects also that, you know, they would like to have a decrease in crime and corruption. And recently, as you pointed out in your introduction, that there has been some volatility in both the fiscal and political space, which affected them. And these are the challenges that seem to show much more prominently in quarter one.
And many SMEs, according to the report, showed that they are being impacted by rand volatility. What are the biggest risks here, and how are they coping?
Look, for issues that make business in general comfortable, it's a stable macroeconomic environment that underpins a positive sentiment. Now the rand volatility, the shifting international trade dynamics, as well as delays that they experienced during the national budget approvals, only serve to feed into an increasingly unpredictable operating environment. And that saw about 37.5% of our SMEs reporting being directly impacted by that rand's volatility in early 2025. It seems to have stabilized a bit at the moment, but it's an issue, particularly for those SMEs that are either importing some equipment or exporting some of the goods and services that has impacted them quite materially.
When we look beyond fiscal uncertainty, what other key challenges, rather, are SMEs flagging?
Well, as I've mentioned earlier on, the issue of funding remains important. The issue of cash flow always repeats itself. And the issue here that we must emphasize is that we need policy consistency by the SMEs. They've highlighted it as quite important for them to thrive. So it's important then that we should have as an overarching goal to get all the key players engaged in supporting businesses to create an environment where SMEs can be able to grow. What's important to emphasize is that government alone cannot solve all the challenges that we face, particularly the unemployment crisis. It requires a collaborative effort between private and public sectors, because if we have that sustainable business environment, we've got a stronger chance of creating jobs that can feed our families with so many people, especially our youth, remaining unemployed.
some big businesses are complaining about overregulation in South Africa. And so is this something that we are finding with small businesses when it comes to regulation? Do they meet some of these hurdles?
Look, regulatory burden remains a challenge. It's one thing that has also come back, come to us in all the confidence index surveys that we have conducted. I think we need to make sure that we ease, especially for the SMEs, like, for instance, the labor environment. Some of this can be quite easier for big business to handle. They've got the wherewithal to be able to respond to some of these heavier regulatory burdens. But you can also take it over to a number of aspects of dealing with municipalities, most of which have been identified as being quite dysfunctional. So if those issues are not being addressed, our SMEs remain very, very challenged. And we can also go as far as making sure that all the authorities ensure that the regime, that public sector in particular, and some private sector entities, make sure that they pay SMEs on time. So that broad spectrum, for me, I cover it within the regulatory burden that SMEs tend to face, including big business.
Fair enough. Thank you very much, sir, for your time this morning. David Morobe is Executive General Manager of Impact Investing at Business Partners Limited. And that report by PwC, in fact, Mr. Brown did an interview on that a couple of days ago. I think it was last week, if not the week before. And you can access it on the MoneyWeb website, rather, or you can actually visit PwC. UC's website on that report on connectivity in South Africa and taking a look at network service providers. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and app at 6:30 a.m. and podcast just after 7 a.m. A big thank you to the team, Eddie, Nobuhle and Nicole. And of course, this week we were joined by Sbusiso and Ms. Mosehla, as well as Mr. Thulane. A big thank you to you for putting up with me and for listening. A big thank you to our guests for their time. Mr. Brown, sir, thank you very much for trusting me with your baby. My name is Duduzile Ramela. This is MoneyWeb Now. Mr. Brown is back with you on Monday, 29 September. Have yourselves a magic weekend ahead. Bagaitjo, bulakio.
Listen to the live stream of MoneyWeb Now at the same time every weekday. For more business, finance, and investment news, MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.